How does the Bible distinguish between someone who is wicked and someone who is blessed? On today, Pastor Seawright references Psalms, the first chapter, verse 2, as he talks about people who are blessed. The blessed person loves studying, knowing, and doing God's word. And now, part 3 of the series on worship, with a sermon entitled, Blessed to Be Known. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Gentle Redeemer, God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you. You are the living word. And that's what we want to continue with today as we talk about this first psalm. Last week I left you all with a question, right? And we're going to talk about that, but we're going to try to review it so we can continue on with this psalm. Because today we want to talk about not what he's not, the blessed man. Not what he's not, but what he is. Amen. So we said last week, you can tell a lot about what a person is by what they do. And the blessed person is one whose mind is made up and their actions show it. God has changed what their minds feed on, if you remember I said that. They don't snack on gossip and graze on insults and munch on telling folks off, you remember. And I said that they don't walk with the ungodly or the wicked to a point where they become familiar with ungodliness or wickedness. And then I said they don't stop and stand where it allows it to fester in their minds, and then they begin to think as such. And then I said that they don't go down that chute to the last one where they're just sitting there marinating in it. And instead of like walking and talking and trying to be one of them, you're actually one of them. You become one of them where you're given the advice and things of that nature. So it becomes a thing of fruition. It's familiar. Then it moves from familiar to festering, and then festering to where the fruit of it comes out into fruition, and you are one of them. I also told you all about a quote last week. I said that, you know, the sinners, the ungodly, the wicked, I said all of those were plural words. Plural, that means that it was a community of them. But I told you within their community, I said it's a difference. I said the righteous advantages the community at the disadvantage of themselves individually. But the wicked advantage themselves at the disadvantage of the community. Amen? And now today we're going to go and talk about what the godly man is. A thing is what it is. It is what it is. In fact, in this week's lesson, when you read the Sunday school material, it gave you a bit of advice, gave teachers a bit of advice. It says, if as a teacher you tell your students what they should turn from, you must always follow that up by showing them what they must turn to. It's good advice. Good advice. So what he's not to what he is. Last week, as I stated, I asked the question and left you all with the question, does your BC differ from your AC? And someone said, well, you know, even if you flip that, that might be a little better. Does your AC differ from your BC? Either way, do they differ? Are you different? Is your before Christ different from your meeting him and then that point of meeting him to an after Christ? Was there a transformation in your life? Was there a difference in your life? But this week, I want to ask you a question. Knowing God, where is that on your bucket list? Where is that on your bucket list? Knowing him, where is that on your bucket list? What number does it take? What column is it in? What role is it on? If I were to ask you the question just saying, what's important to you? Boom. And the first thing that comes to mind, would it be knowing God? Would it be knowing him? How important is that to you? How important is that to you? See, and today, the text says this in verses 2 and 3. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. Delight. What do you delight in? What geeks you up? What makes you stoke? What makes you bout it? Huh? What makes you bout it, bout it? Huh? What makes you just like, yeah? What does that for you? What just makes you like energized and just like, oh boy, I just can't wait? What do you delight in? See, delight is not a word that means just like some good feeling. No. Mm-mm. It's not something that just says it's a temporary excitement. But what do you just like marinate in? What do you just marinate in? What is important to you? As I stated last week, that word blessed is in the plural. It says, oh, the blessedness this man has. Or, oh, the blessedness this woman has because they have a right relationship with God. Because they've made it right with their Creator, they have blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. So what makes this blessed man or blessed woman so happy? It's all that God has given them. It's all that God has given them. What did he give them? He gave them his law. Huh? That makes you excited? That makes you happy? How about this? He gave them his view. Is that better? Don't that make you excited that he gave? Okay, let me try again. How about this? He gave them his outlook. I don't see any runners. I don't see any screamers. No, that don't do it for you. That God gave you his view? his outlook, his truth. He gave you a way to look at it like he would look at it. Is that not huge? Is that not different than where you were before? See, it's interesting because there's a huge difference between God's revelation and man's view. Let me say a difference. There is a difference between revelation and religion. Ooh. Revelation and religion. Now, don't get me wrong, because in James, the first chapter, 27th verse, it says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our Lord or our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I'm not talking about that religion, because notice he had to put a qualifier on it. He said, true religion. Guess what there is? There's a false religion. And a lot of folks are wrapped up in this false religion. And they're putting false religion over revelation. False religion. I run into it often nowadays because, honestly, did you know that folks are so sophisticated with their false religion today that they're passing it as true religion, where it's almost like anything goes in serving God? Anything goes in serving God. Like God does not have a holy standard. Like they have eliminated his standard altogether to fit it in, to make it convenient as to where, yeah, we're going to make you a convenient God. That's what we're going to make you. We're going to make you. We're going to make this God that Fred Hammond was singing about. We're going to make him a convenient God. We're going to fit him into our life, my life, as to where, you can fit comfortably right here, right? I don't want my God, the God that I made, that I serve, I don't want him to demand much of me. I don't want him to get in the way of my fun. You know, I like to do a little thing or two. And I don't want him getting, you know, in the way of that. So, you know, since I'd like to do a thing or two, I like to do some things. Since I do, you know, I got to get that he is forgiving. And I'll put that over here. And since I, you know, show enough do my thing sometime, I got to get that, yeah, don't judge me. I got to put that over there in the scripture too. So I'm going to put that in there. Right, so don't judge me, right? Don't judge me. And then since I like to do, you know, a thing or two, you know, I gotta get on the scripture and say he loves me. Yeah, he loves me. I'm gonna put that over there too. So all of a sudden, you know, you've made your own set of rules and standards. You've made your own. In fact, you've made your own word, right? You made your own words, because in Jerry 2:5, it says, doeth that thing up. Right? Right? And you made your own set of rules, and then rather than loving his word, you made your own word that, oh, you love it because it's so convenient. It fits right into where you want to be, where you're going. Wow. Revelation versus religion. But the blessed man is happy because he knows God's word. By studying God's word. And guess what he really get geeked about? Now this is really going to get y'all shouting. He loves doing God's word. Ooh, where the organ? Where my organ? He loves doing God's word. Not only does he like studying it, knowing it, but he likes doing it. He loves doing it. You know, one author said, life responds to life and spirit responds to spirit, right? And that shows you how we are connected to him, right? Because not only do we have the same spirit, but we also have the same word. That living word came down here, right? Manger born. Right? And that living word followed the written word. And the message that we have today and he left us with is his living word. This word is alive. You know, oftentimes I'm reading the word and it's just not word to me. It's just not ink to me. But it is his message of life. It's his law. And in his teaching, in his instruction, in his direction, you're supposed to meditate in it day and night. That word meditate cracked me up because what it meant is murmur. And it had to do with if you're meditating in it, you're soaking it in. I was feeding Carrie last night, and I was feeding her that bottle, and all I heard was, and that's what you're supposed to do with God's word. You're supposed to be like. You're supposed to have it in you to where you can't stay still about you. Like, you can sometimes you just yeah, have you like sat by I have you. Have you sat by somebody that made sounds when they eat? Yeah, you're like And it's so good. And sometimes it's so good to them. They're just testifying about the chicken. The colored green ink. It is so good to them that they're meditating in it day and night. Day and night. That means, that's a Miriam. That means around the clock. It's just something that you are feeding on day and night. His word all the day long. It's like Jesus said in John 4 and 34. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Not only are you like getting into his word, this man is getting into his word and studying it and knowing it, but he loves doing it. Loves doing it. Wow. We had the series of the Beatitudes, and in Matthew 5 and 6, it says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, or they shall be satisfied. He satisfies. He satisfies. You know, I often, you know, I'm reading the Word, and when I get off into studying the Word, I have made it a habit of mine now to get into that Word by myself. And the reason why I do it is because all of a sudden, when God opens up that revelation, out of nowhere, I'm doing this. You're so good. I'm telling you, it's like, I can't even hardly talk. I can't believe you did it that way. And I get up from my seat and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so good. I got to tell them this on Sunday. I got to tell, oh my goodness. What? What? You did it that way. Man, I never would have thought. But you, man, that's what that means. And I'm like, oh, it's so good. Is it that good to you? Can you experience that? Have you experienced that to where you have been like in communion with him through his word, where you are meditating in it and you're thinking about it and you're marinating in it and you're making them Carrington sounds while you're doing it and you're like, so good. It is so good. Where is knowing God on your bucket list? Where is it? What row is it in? Where? What column? Is it one? Is it two? Is it seven? Is it eight? Where does that fall? Knowing him. Knowing his word. Getting into his word. It's so important to worship. Why? Because, see, when you worship, you got to have something to draw on. It's just not some empty-headed worship that we're trying to go for. But you are worshiping a living God, a risen Savior. And if you don't know anything about him, see, you won't have anything to draw on. But all of a sudden, when you hear the saints rejoicing and you have studied and you have been in your word, then all of a sudden God's got something there to use. And when he brings it to mind, the Holy Spirit brings it to mind, all you can do is just say, oh, it's good. And that was just milk she was carrying over. But we're talking about the word of life. We're like, And when it's in you, you can carry it around in your heart so that you might not sin against it. It will tell you the path in which you should walk, because it lights that path up and it leads you into the right direction, right? So all the day long you are with him. And when these knuckleheaded people like you run into and everything else, when you full of word, you I need another smack. I need another snack for her. Right? And when they say the wrong thing to you, thy word is a lamp. Right? And you get into it and it directs your path. That's why he is so blessed. That's why it's so key to worship, because when you're in his word, that's ground zero. It starts with you allowing him to communicate to you. We've always said here that reading God's word is him communicating to you, and your praying is you communicating to him. Do you have that type of relationship going on? Is it that type of love there for his word? Do you want to enrich your worship? Then get your word. Get your word and get into his word. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Last week we told you that that word man was in the singular form. It didn't mean plural, it mean man, and it made reference to the fact that everyone, every individual, they have to make a decision about Jesus. Mama and daddy, no one can make that decision for you. You must say, what am I going to do with this Jesus? Will I reject him or will I serve him? You have to make a decision about Christ. And once you do, and if you make the decision to have him as your Lord and Savior, you will be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water. That means that, this word means that this tree existed, but then all of a sudden it was transplanted. It was lifted up out of its current situation, and then it was put in an advantageous environment by streams of water. And that's what God does. God like rescues you from that path to hell, takes you out of that, and puts you on a right course for heaven. And he gives you everything you need to be victorious. He transplants that tree. In other words, he changes your life. And he puts you in a place where you can grow and thrive and be what he wants you to be. Transplants you. And then it says, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does or she does prospers. I don't care what your situation is. Whatever your circumstances are, if you're on that downward type of at this time, a life that doesn't seem like things are going right, it tells you that you're guaranteed a season. This scripture tells you that you are guaranteed a season. Your leaves will not wither. Your life will be enriched by his word and by his promises. And once you understand his promises, your life will be enriched. See, it's not about your current circumstances. This scripture passage is not about a current circumstance. This is telling you, in the end, you win. This is scripture from an eternal perspective. It is saying your end will be victorious. But it's also saying to you, currently down here in life, you will have the ups and you will have the downs. You'll have the ups and you'll have the downs. But you will have your season. And that season, it says, and whatever he does, it shall prosper. You will have your season of prosperity. You will have it. You will have it. If you're in his word, if you're in his will, if he is your Savior and your Lord, he will make this life worthwhile. He will make this life worthwhile. Now, is that saying that everybody will be a bahillion, is the hills in there? But you will prosper. And prosper is not determined by how much money you have. Although the Bible says money is good. It's necessary. It's necessary. Right? But I tell you, there's more than one way to show prosperity than just in your bank account. Amen? How many lives have you touched? How many souls have you reached and touched? How many people have you shared your testimony with? How many people have you shared the gospel with? How many folks have you just blessed with a godly presence? When they thought that they were it's funny, because sometimes when you just give a person a smile and a meaningful how you're doing, it changes things. That's why I told you all, every encounter matters. Every encounter matters. Goes on to say in Habakkuk, although you might be up and you might be down, your victory, that's guaranteed. Habakkuk 2, 3, and 4 says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. It will not delay. Just because God says not now, doesn't mean never, right? Sometimes he just says, wait for its proper time. Sometimes a blessing has to come at a certain time for you to treat it right, for you to do the right thing with it, right? Because, if you gave the you today a certain amount of money, the you tomorrow might do so much better with it, right? It takes a time for you to get to being prepared for the blessing. And that leads to the third thing. We talked about what the man is not. We talked about what the man is, but what about what he's becoming? The word, it changes you. You're not the same when you read this word and when you get into it and when you marinate in it. You can't stay where you are. You will become more and more and more like him. In other words, you are in this state of becoming. You're in this state of becoming. Remember, I told you all before that we are in a state of becoming. We're becoming, right? But guess what God said? I am that I am. He's not in a state of becoming. But here's the tricky part of it. You are becoming. He is. And you are becoming. So all along, he is what you need him to be. But you're just becoming. And you're going to come to a point where you understand that he is what you need him to be. So you are becoming. He is. It's like he's way down here saying, what took you so long? I was there all along. I was there while you were becoming. I was there all along. And here's the beautiful part about it. He is what you need him to be. In other words, he is what C. Wright needs him to be. And he is what Elder Williamson needs him to be. And he is what Karen needs him to be. He specifically knows what we all need. And he's exactly what the doctor ordered for each and every one of us individually. Individually. What a great God that can travel with us on our road to becoming. And he is there all along, being the God that we need. Being the God that we need. So I'll park there and I'll ask you once again, where is knowing God on your bucket list? Where is it? How important is it to know this God that created you? How important is it to know the one who sent his son to die for you? Is it important? Where is it on your bucket list? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, I mean, is it one of your goals at least? They tell you to make life goals. And they say, where will you be in 5 or 10 years? On that list at all, is it like I'll be closer to him? I'll know more of him? I'll be more like him? Where is it at? And then you say, what does it have to do with worship? It has all to do with worship. Because what's in you will pour out in praise to him. But if there's nothing in the well, if there's nothing in the well, I don't care how you prime it or whatever, if there's nothing in there, if it's just a little in there, to be honest, if it's just like just this much in there, it's like just say, okay, I made it at least to one Sunday school. Life is going to prime that out probably before you leave the church. Right? Right? You're going to need that word right now. Right? So how important is he? How important is it to know him? Let us stand. The word goes on to say that, you know, his word is sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. But no matter how it's described to you, As I stated in the past, I could tell you about my favorite burger. I can tell you about the sauce and the pickles and the lettuce and cheese going down the side and the ketchup and the marinade. They done mixed together. And the bun is warmed up, and the sesame seeds are all there and stuff. And I could describe it up, and then I said, then I bit into it, and oh boy, was it so good! And I said that burger made me say, But no matter how I describe it, unless you experience it for yourself, unless you experience it for yourself, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do it for yourself. Make that decision. Make that decision and make Him the delight of your life. Make Him the delight of your life. Not only will it enrich your life, but it'll enrich your praise. Amen. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.